What's up, everyone? Welcome back to episode 30 of the Jungle Podcast. I'm Carter.
30 for 30 episodes. I'm Matthew.
And we're back. We took a little bit of a rest, a little bit of a break.
A refresher.
Yeah, but we're back. And for all the basketball fans out there, I mean, y'all know it's the playoffs.
It's
the playoffs, and some teams that no one would have thought 2 years ago would be there are there. And I'm here for it. I love it. The Knicks. Thank God. Let's go. RJ Barrett and Julius Randle are doing just insane things.
I'm not sold on RJ Barrett yet.
Really? Come on.
I still think the second best player on that team is Derrick Rose, low key.
I get what you're saying, but
like, I get RJ Barrett is younger, but I don't know. To me, it's just Derrick Rose, man. That guy is.
Derrick Rose is
still nice,
an amazing vet
to
point
have him
guard.
Coming off the bench and lead that second unit is actually bless. I think.
Yeah,
for real, they needed that.
He's a really good six man, I think, right now at his point in his career. So yeah, for them, dude. When they picked him up again, I was like, let's go. We got D Rose back. I know his initial days in New York, he didn't really like, but nah, fuck it.
I think now he's not necessarily ring chasing, but he's kind of accepted that he's not going to be that guy anymore, but he could still be a significant contributor to a team, regardless yeah. if they're contention or not, which I mean, hey, if the Knicks get to the final somehow,
I'm happy.
It'd be nice.
It was weird finally being able to watch the Knicks this year and not just be like, they're going to lose. They're going to get blown out by 40 today.
First time since, Melo was there that they've actually been a relevant playoff team. And
yeah,
they're not actually
pretty much.
And they're not, it's not even barely an eighth seed. They're well into the bucket. They're the fourth seed, which yeah. I mean, just goes to show that the fourth seed in the East is the eighth seed in the West with the Lakers and the Warriors playing for that. But I mean,
yeah,
I do think the East has a lot more talent than even in the last 2 years.
Than they get credit for.
Yeah. I think you could easily make the argument that the West has more talent is true. But with the East, I feel like people are sleeping. I mean, you got Kevin Durant, you got Kyrie, you got James Harden, you got Giannis, you got other people like Chris Middleton, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, you know what I mean? There's a good amount of talent in the East.
It is weirdly packed with talent. Because even if you look at the Wizards, they're 34 and 38. They're the eighth seed. But they have Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook, and they're an eighth seed in the East. So low key, the East
is
harder.
They came off of a really slow start, though.
Yeah, they had a rough start.
Russ was not playing
well
at the beginning of the year, and then something switched second half of the season. He started going hard.
Yeah, yo, and that boy Rui Hachimura.
I hope he starts developing more.
Yeah,
I like him as a player. He's an interesting player to watch.
Yeah, wait, isn't he? I could have sworn he is injured, right?
No, he was playing today.
He's back? Okay.
Or yesterday, or whenever the 76ers and the... No, they played this morning, didn't they?
Yeah, okay. He's been back for a while. Okay.
I'm 99% sure I saw him when I was watching that game. I only caught the third quarter.
But... Okay, yeah, he's been back for a while. Wow, I just haven't watched the Wizards in a while, huh? Yeah, he's been back for a good amount of time. Just goes to show how much I really pay attention to the Wizards. But, yo... Portland is currently up 1-0 on Denver.
Did you watch the Lakers Suns game today by chance?
I've seen some clips, but no,
my heart literally sunk for 2 minutes because I was watching when Chris Paul got injured. I was like, "There's no fucking chance this guy gets injured game one of this. This is a good series.
Yeah,
don't do this to me." But he came back out. But everyone, you could tell he was not the same when he came back on the floor. He's still able to play, but some shots and some plays he was making. And I'm like, that's not a Chris Paul play. That's not a Chris Paul shot.
Yeah.
He definitely was not himself. So I'm like, I'm hoping he's better for game two. Fingers crossed.
I mean, I guess that's the benefit of a guy like Chris Paul getting injured. Not that you'd ever want to see him injured, but if he's still at the point where he can, play make to the ability that he does, which he doesn't need to be incredibly mobile to do, because he's so good at what he does. He can still shoot the three. He can still space the floor. That's still good enough.
I was about to punch the wall Like, don't get me wrong, Anthony Davis is my favorite player, but that does not exempt him from critique. This guy needs to stop shooting top of the key. Like, I know you can hit them. I know you're a decent shooter, but like, if your shot's not hitting, get in the damn post. Like,
yeah.
DeAndre Ayton's the only one in your way, and you, not that he has a size advantage, but you're clearly a better player. And DeAndre Ayton washed him today. And I was like, man, like, it hurts to see, but
yeah.
Hopefully he can come back on it.
Yeah, because
it
was a little. He has what? Mikhail Bridges on him?
No, or like Mikhail Jay Bridges Crowder? On LeBron. Yeah, he'll have either Jay Crowder, because I think Jay Crowder plays the four on that team. But a lot, when I was at least on this game, I don't know, typically, they had Mikhail Bridges on LeBron for like a good part of the second half. Whether that be because Jay Crowder is not as good defensively compared to Mikhail Bridges.
No, Jay Crowder's a good defender. He was sort of like a 3-and-D player for Boston when he was on that team.
See, that's what I thought. But then why wouldn't they put him on LeBron?
Why LeBron wouldn't had like a, they put him on LeBron? Because you got AD.
But it was... No, I know. But I mean, like, if AD's not hitting, but LeBron's still doing, you know, LeBron things, wouldn't you at least try and... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess you'd make the switch up. But, I mean, I feel like Jay Crowder's probably, like, a bit of a bigger dude than Mikhail Bridges, you know?
Yeah.
So... You kind of got to put bigger body in bigger body.
Is Devin Booker my second favorite player?
It was crazy
to see him.
Yeah, it's
crazy to see him. Not only a playoff game, like I get to see him play past May. That's sweet.
Yeah.
Number two, he was going hard.
34, 8, and 7.
Yeah, he's nice.
Bro, I've been like, I sort of like stopped watching, well, not stopped watching, just like not watching Devin Booker as much in recent years because it's like, yeah, I can watch him drop 50 and that's sick. I love to see that. But then, you know, you never see him in the playoffs. So it's so refreshing to finally see him not only on a winning team, not only on one of the best teams in the West, but in the playoffs dropping 34 on a LeBron-led Lakers.
Yeah. I think what's the Suns need to do for this matchup specifically is they need to try and get the Lakers out as fast as possible. Because I feel like as time goes on, like LeBron just gets better.
Yeah.
In a playoff series, like the first couple of games, I feel like he usually takes to figure out what they're going to do, what their tendencies are, especially because this is new to him. Like he's never played against Chris Paul in a fucking playoff matchup, let alone the first round.
Yeah.
He's also older and more injury prone, at least this season.
Yeah. Didn't he say he was never going to be the same?
Yeah, I was like, that's cap. This guy, the next night, this guy dropped it.
Like 25 or something.
He cut an alley-oop. I was like, ow.
Yeah, this man is never going to be the same. He's only going to be like KD level.
Yeah. No, it was literally so heartbreaking. I was watching Anthony Davis just fucking shoot top of the key jumpers and missing. And I'm like, dude, please, like, get in the damn paint. Like, what are you doing? You don't even have to, like... He didn't even have to score above 20. Like he scored what, 13? Yeah, 13.
Mm-hmm.
But like he's not even doing like great defensive plays. Like if you're not, you know, banging on offense, at least like if you're doing well on defense. But like they had a double digit lead, the Suns, basically like most of the third and the fourth. I think they had it up to like 17 or 18 at one point. And then Alex Caruso, jeez. That guy was going hard. Two defensive. He got back-to-back charges and then converted on a transition break into a two-pointer. And I'm like, okay.
People kind of sleep on him. I'm not going to lie.
He's nice.
Like, I know he's sort of like that memed player, but like, he's actually nice. Like, he is actually that dude. No, but I think my like two big, okay, I'm going to say my three big matchups for this playoffs right now, at least this round, is in the East, Milwaukee, Miami, and then in the West, Denver, Portland, and then sort of as a secondary pick, Clippers and Dallas.
Did you watch that last night game? Oh my God.
I wasn't able to watch it last night, but I was looking through clips today.
Kawhi Leonard did his thing, you know. Paul George inefficiently, you know, also kind of did his thing, but Luka, man, holy shit.
Luka's the truth.
It was actually nuts. I was like, there's no chance this guy stole game one from them. And then I look at the stats and I'm like, wow. And then I watch the highlights. I'm like, oh, wow. He's serious.
Yeah. I mean, people forget that he's, you know, a European champion. Like, you know, he's not used to like that pressure, even though it's on a slightly different stage. It's like, now we're finally getting to see like playoff Luka, and I feel like people shouldn't be as surprised as they are.
It kind of hurts seeing Kristaps Porzingis. Like, I don't know what it is about him. He looks like he's regressed quite a bit from like what I think people were expecting him to be, to have like a little dynamic duo between Luka and Kristaps.
Yeah,
because I mean, even stats wise, just looking at it, like I think the second best player in that game specifically was Tim Hardaway Jr. And I was, from what the highlights showed, because I didn't watch the full game, I would have said the same thing. Like Tim Hardaway Jr. looked like a lot more smooth compared to Kristaps. But
yeah, I mean, I don't really want to say like, oh, he's still coming, he's still sort of coming back from injury. But like,
yeah, like it's been a while.
He is still kind of like coming back from injury. Plus, I mean, it was a new system for him. He has to sort of fit in.
Yeah, no, I get all the little, not necessarily excuses, but explanations as to why it's taking a little longer. But
yeah,
to me, I figured like for someone of his caliber and how hyped up like he was when he was on the Knicks and stuff, and I get he had a pretty serious injury, you'd think that this would have been like, you know, a decent amount of time for him to get back. And
yeah, I mean, he's still scoring like 20 a game with like 8 or 9 rebounds.
Yeah, not terrible. I'm not mad at him by any means. Yeah. He's doing fine. I just, when someone says that you're the next big two, like Dirk Nowitzki hands off the keys to you and Luka.
Yeah.
You know, like I kind of expect you to be able to do some big things.
I think it's
just a little underwhelming.
I think it's still
pretty early.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think it's still a little premature to like forget about him because he's still only unbelievably 25.
That's
kind of like he's still 25. He still has some years before his potentially the peak of his prime. So
I say most people hit their prime what, like late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. So I'm still holding that on
27 to 31.
Yeah, because like KP on the Knicks was like he had flashes of greatness, but you could tell.
So I'm saying that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, which is I'm still pissed the Knicks got rid of him for literally nothing. Literally some cash and
that was
fucking
dumb. What's the owner's name? James Dolan? Is that what they know?
Yeah. Yeah, James Dolan. Oof. He gets a pass this year because of RJ and Julius
Randle. I don't even think it was him.
No, not really.
I think it was just mostly Julius Randle took a leap forward and they were like, oh, we got something now. Let's go.
They're like, don't get rid of him.
Can you imagine next season he gets traded? Oh,
bro,
my God.
I wouldn't even be surprised. I literally, it's the Knicks. I wouldn't be surprised if they just traded Derrick Rose, RJ Barrett, and Julius Randle for like 2 second round picks. And like,
is Kevin Knox
bucks.
Still on that team? There was a little brief moment I remember. Everyone's like, oh, Kevin Knox got next.
See, not necessarily. Kevin Knox was what, like the 8th seed or something? And then I saw him score on his own basket, and I was like,
never mind.
Get him out of the league, man. Yeah, I was one of those people that was like, yo, Kevin Knox, he might bang, and then he did some shit like that.
That's what I was saying. Nah. I remember watching some Kevin Knox, and I was like, yeah, he's not
Although,
bad.
Mitchell Robinson, they're at their center position, that's a bad man. Defensively,
Emmanuel Quickly is another fantastic pickup, dude. Emmanuel Quickly is nice.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like...
Actually, that game just ended. The Knicks and Hawks, game one, they lost.
They lost. 107 to 105. It was close. But this, I mean, this is one of those series that you expect to be fairly close with a 4-5 seed, so...
Oh, yeah, they picked up Obi Toppin.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgot about that one.
Yes, sir.
What are the stats? Oh, Trey Young, 32, 10, and 7. Not bad.
Yeah.
Pretty nice stuff.
I mean, you expect Trey to, you know, do big things. So
Something about the Hawks. I feel like they've been kind of underrated this year. Like they're, you know, in playoff contention, obviously. And there's nothing wrong with their team per se, but I feel like you don't really hear about them unless you're an avid Hawks fan. But I mean, 5th seed in the East, not bad.
Okay. So with AD and your Lakers being a 7th seed, and getting beat by your boy Devin Booker, winning the West and winning the East? But
see, are you talking about this first matchup between?
No, I'm saying who do you think is winning in the West? Like who's coming out of the West? Who's coming out of the East? And then who do you think wins between those two?
In the West, see, this is the thing: is I need to watch the game tonight with the Jazz. Obviously, they're against the Grizzlies, but like. Part of me, I don't know. You haven't seen Devin Booker in the playoffs before. CP3 has never been past the conference finals.
Yeah.
Obviously, Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert had a game seven for the fucking ages against the Nuggets in round one last year. So it's like, I'm aware that they're good players. I need to see them beat the people that are like the Kawhis.
Yeah.
And even Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard led the team to the conference. You know what I mean? And like, Dame, obviously, Mello, LeBron. Like,
Rocco.
It is hard. It's hard to beat. Or it's hard to bet against LeBron. Like,
it is incredibly like, hard.
There's been so many occasions where I'm like, game one at Boston a few years ago. I'm like, yeah, maybe LeBron's kind of over it now.
When and then Tatum like hit it on him. Yeah. I remember that done. Moment. And then Marcus maybe Morris LeBron's just like done. Goes by him like yelling in his face. Dude, that shit was an iconic moment.
And then you see him do next game. I think it was the game after. Marcus Morris literally was grabbing him down. And he still got the end one. I was like,
yeah, no, I remember.
Why did I even try betting against this man, bro? It's hard to bet. Like, it's really hard to bet against the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Trailblazers. But I mean, they're up there.
Was that the same season where in
that was
the elimination?
2018, I think.
Yeah. So in the elimination game with the Raptors, LeBron hits like the running like fall away right hand shot.
Oh, over, that floater
over DeMar, or I think it was over DeMar off the backboard, and like he like shoots it, and you're like, there's no chance, there's no angle
I remember
for it, and he hits it. I was like,
what? I think we talked about that after that happened. You're like, I literally was watching that game on my TV, and I was like, there's no fucking chance this guy hits this. It fucking falls.
Dude, that was one of those like heartbreaking moments, like watching the Raptors. You're like, oh,
no.
What? This is we don't count it, ref. Cancel that.
Man,
Oh,
actually, this is some news. It's not necessarily related to the playoffs, but I saw it on an Instagram post, so take it with a grain of salt. Right. But apparently the NBA is interested in bringing back a couple of the franchises like within the next year or two, and the Supersonics are one of them. And I'm like, I'm really hoping they bring back like at least a team in Canada, like a second team, because don't get me wrong, I like the Raptors, and the Raptors are, you know, they've been pretty established since, but like I feel like we need to have another Canadian team.
The Supersonics are for sure the first team to come back, and I agree they should be the first team to come back. They shouldn't have lost their team. But yeah, I'd like to see Vancouver.
It surprises me that they relocated to OKC as they got Kevin Durant. That kind of surprised me. Obviously, I guess at the time, like, are you really going to save a franchise just because you got like theoretically a good player? Like, it's not like they knew how good Kevin Durant was going to be after like what, not even a full season with them. Like, I think he must have played the rest of that season or that season in general, but then they ended up relocating. But I feel like they could have kept it.
Yeah.
They got you landed. I mean, if they knew what Kevin Durant was going to be now, I'm sure they would have been fine. Not just in terms of like actual standings, but just as a culture, as a whole, I think they would have been able to keep it alive, seeing their franchise player, Kevin Durant, you know?
Yeah. Cause I guess what their whole reason for moving was like just not a fan base or whatever, or like wasn't profitable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which,
at
again,
the time,
seems
I think
weird.
The city of Seattle was just saying that like they didn't want to make a new arena because they like the culture wasn't there and there wasn't enough interest in basketball.
Yeah,
I understand. Like when I think Seattle, my first thought process is definitely not they're a big sports town. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, the city has to pay for a lot of that. So
yeah, so like I understand where they're coming from. It's just it kind of sucked because I thought the Sonics were actually a pretty sweet team.
Yeah. Okay, so back to the playoffs. Who you got coming up the West?
Lord forgive me for saying this, but I still gotta pick the Lakers, I'm sorry.
Okay.
I believe Anthony Davis needs to fucking be himself. Something's been happening recently, I don't know what it is. But my second option would probably be the Suns, just you know. Those are my biases coming into play.
Yeah.
Realistically, any of those eight teams that are in the... Actually, no offense to John Morant. I'm going to disrespect some John Morant fans right now, but I don't see him winning me out. I could see the first seven teams making it out of the West, but not John Morant's team. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with him. And, like, I just think they're too young. You know what I mean? Like, I think they haven't developed enough as a team, whereas, like, everyone else has either had enough time to develop or has players that have shown that they can take a team to at least the finals or out of the conference.
See, I think if Denver still has Jamal Murray, if Jamal Murray never gets injured this year.
Oh, right now?
Like yeah.
For the season? Yeah.
Okay. If he never gets injured this year, I could legitimately see them having won it this year. I don't think that without Jamal Murray, they have enough. Like, Michael Porter Jr. he's been going huge.
I was
going
to say, I think the problem with that team right now is that, obviously, the offense runs through Jokic. He kind of plays their, like, point center almost, just because, you know, why wouldn't you take advantage of someone's ridiculous passing ability and vision? But you definitely needed a Jamal Murray there.
Yeah,
for
sure. Like, I do agree with that. Like, you have that Michael Porter Jr., but you still are sort of missing that, like, X-factor guard that you had in Jamal Murray. But I actually think that's why Denver works so well, is because you have this guard that does what he does, and then you have a big that is a playmaker like Jokic that, like, how do you really do anything about that?
Honestly, Jokic is one of those players that I'm just like, I don't understand how he is so efficient with what he does, because he literally does not look like he belongs in the NBA.
Yeah, yeah, not at all.
Especially, like, the first couple years he was here in the NBA, I was like, yeah, like, obviously he's, like, a pretty good center, but, like, he doesn't look like he's going to last. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's MVP caliber player right now. I'm like, what the
fuck?
Like,
yeah, I don't get it.
And then you see some of the passes he's throwing, and I'm like, how? Like, where did you get this?
Yeah, it's like a almost like a Larry Bird type. Like, Larry Bird didn't look very athletic at all, but better believe he was giving you 40, 50 a night.
I don't know, like... As much as I love watching Donovan Mitchell, because he's an interesting player to watch, I have to see it. I have to see it to believe it. I'm a little skeptic still, especially with Rudy Gobert. Nothing wrong with him again. It's just more so, I need to see them go past the Suns, the Nuggets, the Clippers, the Mavs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially the former, like, I get the lower seeds, but, like, 3 through 7... they all have players that, like, not only have brought their team to at least a conference finals, if not a title, but, like, the Jazz are a deep-ass team, too. So it's like, oh.
Yeah.
Jordan Clarkson, nice off the bench. Everyone was like, oh, it's just a little phase, and then he ended up doing it the whole year. So,
yeah. Well,
Here's hoping. Yeah.
I have, like, three, like, sort of, like, scenarios that I – there's, like, sort of my fan pick that I really want to happen. There's the realistic pick. Out of the West. Oh. Obviously, out of the East. Yeah, I want to see the Knicks. If I had it my way, it'd be like Knicks Milwaukee or Knicks Boston.
Conference maybe. Final.
Yeah. Ooh, but Knicks Miami would be crazy. See, there's so many teams in the West, but I want to see the Knicks. But no, in the West, it would be like Utah Lakers would be the most realistic. My fan pick would be like. I guess Portland, Dallas, just because, like, I gotta see Melo get to the finals, and I gotta see Dame get to the finals.
He's one of those players that I still don't understand how he's never made it to, like, a finals or a ring. I'm just like, well, man, this guy was so, like,
he was New York this close in Denver.
New York Knicks Melo was dangerous,
bro. He was this close in Denver, and then he just had to hit the Mamba. And what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do against Kobe, prime Kobe?
I don't blame him.
Yeah. But I think my ideal storyline pick would be the Lakers and Phoenix. Because the thing is, okay, not only has, you know, Chris Paul
happening right
played
now.
On the
Lakers and Phoenix?
Clippers Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Not only has Chris Paul played for the Clippers, but if both of them are in the conference finals, if either one of them loses, somebody breaks a curse.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, either the Clippers either finally break their curse.
Either it was Chris Paul is exactly. The issue, or it was the Clippers is the issue.
Exactly. So somebody breaks a curse no matter what. And somebody, and either Paul George finally gets to the finals, or, you know, Chris Paul gets to the finals. So I think, like, story-wise, that would be crazy.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I gotta see Portland. I feel like they got the momentum. I want to see
still
as a fan.
My pick is my. That's fair. That's fair. As a fan, I want to see Devin Booker make it and Chris Paul too, because Chris Paul's one of my all-time favorite players. But
yeah,
for my pick, I can't bet against LeBron. I'm sorry, like at least not in this first round.
Yeah,
which means that if they do end up beating the Suns, it's pretty fair game to say that I'll probably take the Lakers, just because then it's Anthony Davis for me. Out of the East, though, that's a good one.
The East is. I feel like every year it's sort of a toss up.
From the teams that are in the playoffs right now, this is just me being realistic with myself and looking at it objectively. I don't see the Hawks making an upset.
No.
I don't see the Wizards making an upset.
Nope.
The Celtics are without Jaylen Brown right now. They don't really have that much depth, and I don't see Jason Tatum being able to take that much off of the Nets, especially in the first round. So
yeah,
I think I could safely get all of them out. The Heat versus the Bucks right now, that's the one where I'm like, I really don't know, because obviously they upset the Bucks last year, but then like this year, I don't know.
I feel like that's that like 50-50 dark horse pick is like, if yeah. Miami beats Milwaukee, maybe they go on to beat Brooklyn, because I have Brooklyn beating Boston. But I feel like if Milwaukee beats Miami, Milwaukee might have a chance at beating Brooklyn, just because they have so much size. I have Philly going straight to the conference finals, because who's going to challenge them? They have to play either Atlanta, New York, and then they have to beat Washington, which is done and dusted. What? That's a 4-0.
76ers, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the 76ers are making the conference finals.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. It's almost like an easy pick for them this year.
Yeah. And it's not just because they have a good team, well coached, and they're actually really well rounded. It's weird because Ben Simmons, I like as a player, but like I feel like he's not as good this year. Like defensively he's been amazing, but like I feel like as your primary decision maker, you don't need to score the most points, but like if this man could hit a three, I legitimately think he would be like probably in the top 15, 10 players maybe.
Yeah.
Like if he had a jump shot, and the fact that he's able to do this well without one just shows how good he is in other areas. And like this man is an all-star and he can't shoot a three in a 3-point era.
See, my thing with Ben Simmons is he's effectively like the second coming of Magic. He's got the size, he's got the playmaking. He doesn't really have much of an outside shot. Although we're like yet to really see, maybe in a few years he develops one.
Well, Dwight Howard's like, Ben Simmons is just a young LeBron. And I'm like, I guess.
Yeah. Different. I think LeBron has a bit more shooting ability, but
I was going to say, I feel like LeBron's a little bit better of a shooter overall. But I mean, like, LeBron, when he got drafted, never went into a team that was already a decently constructed team.
Yeah.
And now they have like Joel Embiid is back. Not just from his injury, but in general, because I'm pretty sure he didn't play the first years in the NBA, right?
Joel? Yeah, that was the whole, like, trust the process thing, because he came in basically injured immediately. But, yeah, I feel like, and the thing is, Ben Simmons doesn't really have to be that scorer on his team.
No,
like, Joel, you got Tobias Harris, you got Danny Green and Seth Curry, who spaced the floor amazingly for you, like...
Yeah. That is exactly, and, I mean, obviously Joel Embiid, too, as your backup son is Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Which I feel like last year, like that title run that the Lakers had really reminded people how good Dwight Howard really is.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, man, this guy needs some respect.
Yep.
My guy's had off the court issues, but on the court, he's still a beast, bro.
It's true. But he, for sure, after that Lakers year, and then he goes to Sixers, ring tracing.
I can't blame him.
Yeah. I mean, it's
he's
like at this
a
point.
Hall of Fame lock. Like, in my opinion, he's probably the Hall of Fame lock right now at that position. Like, if I had to choose one player from every position, I would say he's my Hall of Fame lock, just because it's like, how many defensive player of the years? Three?
Yeah.
I think he had three defensive player of the years. Obviously, a bunch of rebound and block champs. He now has a ring.
Yeah.
Like, he led his team to the finals. You know, like, he's got a good enough resume that I feel like he's a Hall of Fame lock.
That's fair. Yeah, I mean... I don't really know. Like, I mean, to be fair, he's class of 2004. So the only other people, if we're going era, it's like, okay, LeBron, you know, Dwight-ish. But yeah, there's not really like any of those. I mean, Dwight was sort of kind of the last of like the big man era, you know?
Yeah. And I think the part of his regression, like he was still obviously like an all-star into the early like 2010s and stuff. And was still clearly like a good player. I think the problem was just that 3-point shooting just became way more prevalent. And I mean, it's not like he can even fucking hit a 3-pointer aside from.
Didn't he hit a three in the playoffs last year?
He hit, yeah, they were up by like 30.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
I think Portland, yeah, or but
something. He just pulled it. I'm like, of course he's going to fucking pull. Like, I can't blame him.
Hey, he can still shoot. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just kind of blown away by this Blazers squad.
Well, I don't blame you. I think Damian Lillard's got a... Oh, did you hear what he said about Steph Curry, though?
No.
He's like, in my eyes, Steph Curry's not the MVP this year. And I was like, no, that's fair. And I'm like, that's probably not salty. But he explained himself. He's like, it's not a knock against him, but it's just that when I was putting up 32-8 or whatever he was putting up last year and had an I team in the 8th seed.
Yeah.
Like, no one, everyone said I was too low of a seeding. How come now that he is in the exact same position I was in with a similarly stacked team? Because last year, obviously, he didn't have CJ.
Yeah.
Like, how come I'm not, how come he's getting MVP talks?
It's because like, Dame,
oh, that's a fair game,
is one of the most snub players ever.
Also, I feel
how
like
many times did he miss an All-Star game?
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, that's, yeah, because he's got the name behind
him. Part of it. And, like, he's in a bigger market. More people are going to see the Warriors compared to the Blazers. Although, do you think that if Dame this year isn't able to lead them to maybe possibly a finals berth, let alone a conference finals, do you think they're going to explore, like, trading him? Or do you think he's going to want out? Or do you think he's going to stick? This is an interesting question I read on Twitter earlier. And I was like, I see him sticking, but I wouldn't be surprised if they tried trading him.
Yeah, I feel like Dame is the type of guy to stay.
Yeah, that's why. Like, he's made it clear he wants to win in Portland, which is fair. Like,
yeah,
I do think that they have a decent enough team to make it to the finals. I don't think they have a team that could beat necessarily. Well, it depends on the matchup, I guess, too. Like,
yeah,
if they go against like the Bucks or something, I don't see them winning against the Bucks. But if they go against a team that they might be able to beat in some, you know, like it's the playoffs, anything can happen. But there's some matchups in the East I don't see them winning whatsoever.
If they don't win against the Bucks, who do they win against? That realistically would come out of the East.
Let me rephrase that. Because yes, they have better shooting and they have some, like, Nurkic when he's healthy is a pretty good center. But, like, in my opinion, Drew Holiday is a good enough defender to stop one of the two. Chris Middleton is bigger and is actually able to shoot. Whether or not he does it the rest of the season in this postseason, you know, we still have yet to see. But
yeah,
theoretically, I think Chris Middleton, and then obviously, like, kind of hard to stop Giannis when your second biggest player, past Nurkic, is who, like, maybe, I guess, Robert Covington, Carmelo, Enes Kanter, are the ones they're probably going to throw towards probably Giannis.
Yeah,
if it's not Nurkic already. And, like, Giannis is still going to get his points. It's just, you have to see, I don't know. To me, I think the Bucks are actually a favorable, or they have a good matchup against the Blazers just because of how the Blazers are constructed.
No, I agree. That is like an interesting matchup, but.
That would be your dream matchup. What is it? Portland,
yeah,
and the Bucks?
Well, either Portland and Knicks would be like a crazy final. But then, yeah, Portland Bucks would be kind of crazy.
Honestly, this is like the first time in a while I've watched the NBA and I'm like, I really don't know who's going to come out of the West. And there's actually multiple teams I could see coming out of the East. Like,
yeah,
the top three teams I could all see coming out of the East. And then, like, the Knicks would be my dark horse pick.
And it's refreshing to finally be like, it's not just going to be Steph, LeBron.
That too.
Because that was like, what, 5 years basically where it was just fucking,
yeah,
Warriors, Cleveland.
I think the first time around when it happened is exciting. And then the second time, obviously, is when the 3-1 comeback happened. And I was like, that was fire. And
that was insane.
They picked up,
yeah,
Kevin Durant. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, I don't think LeBron's going to be able to even get to the finals this year. And then he does, and it's them again. And then he does it a second year in a row. I'm like, yeah, all right, like, come on.
But I think everybody knew once they picked up KD, it was like, okay, LeBron might get to the finals, but he ain't fucking, yeah, winning.
What's crazy, though, is someone pointed out, they were like, James Harden was actually, like, if he didn't have an off night shooting, or I guess the team as a whole, but James Harden as well, didn't have an off night, like, they legitimately pushed that KD fully healthy Warriors team to, like, a game 7, basically. And I'm like,
yeah,
that's actually a very valid point.
I think that'll, like, go down as one of the biggest what-ifs in NBA history.
If CP3 doesn't get injured?
Yeah.
My guy always gets injured playoff time. What the hell? Even that's what I'm saying today. Yeah, I watched today. The game and I was like, don't do this to me. Like
heart drops, like the curse.
This is the first time I've seen Chris Paul and LeBron face up in a playoff matching setting. And I'm like, this is gonna be so good. And then LeBron's kind of iffy. Anthony Davis is literally dog water this game.
Yup.
Devin Booker's nice, which is at least nice. But Chris Paul goes down. I'm like, please no, bro. Like, don't do this. Stay healthy, please.
So I'm gonna have if Brooklyn wins, which I still don't think they will, but if they do, I'm gonna have to eat my words because I said when this team first got put together, I don't think
James Harden trade happened.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think it's gonna work. There's sort of like too many cooks in the kitchen. They all need like ball time. And then they picked up Blake Griffin, but it seems like it's working. So
This is my issue. I think the super team is constructed there with, I don't think anyone's going to deny that. Yeah. And as much as I love Blake Griffin, I think I was on record earlier saying that I think that they had to also just somehow get Blake Griffin. And then they had LaMarcus Aldridge before he retired.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I think people were sleeping on how good Blake Griffin still is. I'm like, yeah, he's coming off the bench now. But I mean, like, he's not just some regular rotational player that you're just having as a backup. Like, he was a star player for a while. Like, yeah. He knows what he's doing.
I think people forgot that, in 2018 or whatever, he dropped 50 and he had, like, a record game and he was having a crazy season. Like, this is only, like, 3 years ago, guys.
And I'm like, people were like, well, Blake Griffin's washed now. I'm like, I mean, that might be true. Like, he's not technically like a borderline MVP caliber player anymore, but he's still a good ass player. Like,
yeah, I mean,
my guy learned how to shoot in 2018 and had like another all-star season, and that was like 2 years ago. Then he was injured for 2019, and then he obviously just forced his way out in 2020.
Yeah, he 2018-19 he was an all-star, scoring almost 25 points per game with 7.5 rebounds and 5.4 assists. Like, he was doing fine.
I don't know. I think people were just quick to say that, like, there was the initial wave of everyone saying, oh, Brooklyn's forming the fucking Avengers. They're forming a super team. And then there was that counter wave of people being like, well, LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin is washed. I'm like, I don't think so. Like, they're definitely not their former selves, but they're not terrible now. Like, they're not trash.
Yeah. Also, he's shooting 34% from 3 on 4.5 attempts.
Like,
for a big man?
How tall is he? Isn't he only like
6'11" or 6'10"?
He's 6'10". Mm-hmm. I guess that's not that different from 6'8". I was thinking he was 6'8" for some reason.
Nah, he's a little bigger. But yeah, I don't know. This is definitely like the mixiest playoffs I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah. Honestly, when people tell me their predictions, I'm like, I could see that happening.
Yeah,
no matter what it really is, because it's like, it really can't, like, especially with the West, to me specifically, like, I could realistically see any of the teams 1 through 7 like making it to the finals. Like, if Utah proves that they're that good of a team and it wasn't just a regular season thing, there you go. Phoenix, obviously, I think they have the capability to that Chris Paul pick up. The Clippers, I feel like with that choke job last year, they're more motivated.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas obviously is a good team. Portland, Damian Lillard almost did it. Yeah, he ran into the Warriors, but now, I mean, I feel like there's a little more parity in the West. And then obviously the Lakers are defending champions. I don't see Memphis going anywhere.
Yeah, there's like probably only 4 teams that if you told me wouldn't make it out of the first round, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. But there's 12 teams that if you told me they'd make it to like conference finals, Yeah, I could see it happen.
And I think all the teams in the East are the ones I'm thinking, yeah, they probably won't make, you know, let alone conference finals, but like a second round appearance.
Yeah, and Knicks, Atlanta, and still, Washington are 3 of those teams. And then
I want to see the Knicks getting out of the first round.
Yeah.
Because they're against Atlanta, I feel like it really could go either way with that one, too. Like,
yeah. And it's like,
it just depends on how...
It'd be sick to see Trae Young lead that team to, I don't know, whether it's conference finals or just second round of the playoffs. But I think the Knicks organization needs a deep playoff run for them not to just blow up the team again and just screw themselves over.
Yeah. Do you think a playoff, you don't think a playoff appearance is enough for them to not do it's another the fucking
Knicks, man. They had KP. Rebuild. they had KP, and they could have drafted oh my god.
Depressed Knicks fan here.
They could have drafted a fucking New Orleans Pelicans, Zion. They could have drafted him. And that, or was he picked before? I think he might have been picked before. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. We were supposed to get the number one seed, and then we didn't. Anyways, yeah. We had so much opportunity to draft all-star caliber players, never did. So I wouldn't put it past the Knicks to just be like, fuck it, blank chalkboard after this playoffs, as if they don't get a deep run.
Yeah. Honestly, I think to me, this seems like enough. They had a playoff appearance, and they're not like a barely making it play-in eighth seed. Oh, the play-in is something I want to also talk about real quick, but they're like firmly in the standings.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's more than enough for them to be like, yeah, we got something here with Julius Randle and Derrick Rose coming off the bench, and Obi Toppin's probably going to start getting developed soon. Emmanuel Quickley's doing fine. You know what I mean? Like, they have a decent enough team that they could probably run with for a bit. Maybe not necessarily into a contention unless Julius Randle starts putting up MVP numbers.
Yeah. Yeah. But they still need that one player that's like just a generational talent. And I don't think they have anyone currently.
What's crazy to me is that, like, I can't even think of the last time. Like, I think the Detroit Pistons would have been the last team that I can remember from recent history that didn't have like a generational talent level player. Like,
yeah, and that's 2004.
The Celtics had KG. Obviously, Kobe's on the Lakers. This is 2000, by the way. So obviously, Tim Duncan on the Spurs. No, whatever. Dwayne Wade and Shaq on the Heat. Like,
yeah,
these are like generational players that are going to go down as like some of the greatest players in the world or in the history of the game. Not to disrespect Chauncey Billups, Rasheed Wallace, or Ben Wallace. Sorry.
Rip Hamilton. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they just had a deep team.
Yeah. Yeah. They had like a very solid team, but you don't look at any of those guys and be like, damn, this dude's like MVP caliber. I guess you could say the same thing about, what was it, the 2016 Hawks? When they had like Kyle Korver, Jeff Teague,
Paul Millsap. Yeah. Yeah, they were a good ass team, but then they got swept swept by LeBron.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I remember that was another moment. Those playoffs, I didn't doubt LeBron at the time, but I remember there was a bunch of people in the media. They were like, LeBron's going up against a 60-win team. Like, is he going to be able to do it? And then he swept them. And I was like,
I mean, he did have Kyrie and a decently healthy Kevin Love. Like, he's probably doing all right.
Yeah. I think it's just the fact because that was probably one of the first times in a while. A 60-win team in the East is not nearly as common as it was in the West, especially with the Warriors. 73-9, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's still unbelievable.
Speaking of the Warriors, those play-in games were interesting.
Dude, I like the play-in tournaments. I like this
format. My issue with the play-in tournaments is I don't think it should be, and I understand why they can't do this, but do you remember when it was the bubble? It was only the people that were within two games that they allowed to do that play-in tournament.
Yeah.
Whereas this year, it seemed like it doesn't matter if you were within X games of that next seed. It was just if you were 7, 8, 9, 10, if you were in that range. And I'm like, can you imagine you're firmly as the 7 seed and you lose your spot to someone who was in 10th just because of the play? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they should have kept that rule where you have to be within a certain amount of games to have to qualify. I get why they don't do it, because you can't have an uneven amount of people playing. You know what I mean? Like, I get that.
I think this is the first step to going to a format where they just take the 16 teams with the best records instead of doing a West East. Size. Yeah, I think that's probably like maybe next year they change the format to the play-in tournaments are just the next team, the next four teams down of like those, like sort of, I guess.
You think 10. They're going to get rid of conferences? Actually, I can see it because some of the places here that the teams are playing out of, like, it'll be, what am I thinking of? Yeah, Memphis. Memphis is definitely not as Western as some of the other teams.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Utah is pretty far west. Like, it's in the Midwest, I guess, if you technically count it. Like, Phoenix is pretty far west. Denver is also in that Midwestern area. But, like, LA, Portland, both LA teams, Sacramento, you know, like they're far west. I can see that.
New Orleans. How is that a Western team?
Yeah, like they're pretty far east.
They're farther east than some Eastern teams. Like what?
I don't know. Some of the teams, I feel like, either change the conference that they're in or something. But
yeah, no, maybe. I could see it just like for a playoff format, they don't go with conferences anymore. I see that as a pretty realistic.
Yeah, it's just thing. The 16 best teams.
Yeah,
I think they should reduce the amount of teams though, low key. Like maybe the 14, but because there's only 30 teams. Like if there was more than 30 teams, I feel like it's fine. But like over half the teams make the playoffs anyway.
Like, yeah. Well. Yeah.
I don't know. To me, it seems kind of odd that over half the teams make the playoffs. You would think that like if you want the best teams and to make the you'd have to be a good team to make the playoffs. But like realistically, you could be fucking barely over 500 and still make it.
Thing is,
or below 500, like Washington. Washington's 34 and 38. Like, they're not even a 500 team, and they're still making it.
Yeah. The thing is, you can't take 14 teams. You'd have to take 12.
Oh, yeah. No.
So then now you're cutting out four teams, and it's like, well, it's four teams that could have potentially made conference finals or even the finals.
I guess. I don't know. To me, it just seems odd that over half the teams still make it.
Yeah. Because that also means now you only
have... If they expand the league, then it won't really make a difference. Yeah. If they get 32 teams by the end of next year, 2 years down the road, then it's not a big deal. But
yeah.
Just me personally, it seems odd.
Yeah. The other thing is if you have 16 teams and you have three rounds in the playoffs plus the finals, whereas if you only had 12, there'd be like semifinals and then conference finals.
Yeah, and so then you playoffs. And then yeah. Second round and then, yeah. Yeah, I guess so. That makes sense, I guess. But yeah, I still stand by the fact that I like to play in tournament. I just think that you should have to be within an X amount of games in order to qualify. Because I think it's kind of bullshit if even for Washington, I guess Washington and Indiana had similar records and they had the exact same record this year. But
yeah,
can you imagine if someone is 33 and 39, like how Charlotte was, and they ended up beating Boston, who was, you know, good enough that I think they should have been better, but they were a 500 team. I think that would piss me off a little bit if I was Boston.
So. Yeah. Well, especially in Boston's case this year, where they're a team that should be a 3 seed and they struggled. And then could you imagine you're a 7 seed? You're like, yeah, we just clinched the playoffs. All we have to do is just keep it together through playoffs. And then you get fucking beat like by a team like the Hornets who went 33-39.
Yeah, like you have an off night. Which is like everyone's gonna have an off night at some point in their
life. Yeah.
But as a player, if you're the star player, you have an off night, and you end up losing that play. I don't know. To me, like it puts a lot on the line, which is like it's good because storylines are there. It's very interesting to watch. I saw a statistic that the Lakers Warriors matchup for that play-in tournament was like one of the most viewed basketball games in like a fat minute, which I could see because it was a good game.
Yeah.
And like. It just blows my mind that someone could be in the 7th seed at like say 38-36 or something and still lose to the number 10 who's like 30-39 or some shit like that.
You know what I think is crazy though? And it really shows how good Steph is, not only as a shooter, but just the way he you know, changes the defense around him. They almost beat the Lakers. A LeBron-led Lakers with the Anthony Davis, everybody, the Warriors, without Klay, almost beat them.
Yeah.
Which is, that's fucking mind-blowing to me, that a LeBron-led Lakers. And the
top-rated defense, too. That's
yeah. Crazy. Like.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I think, obviously, Steph led that team, and. That I'm not trying to discredit Steph or any of the Warriors because obviously Draymond played amazing defense on Anthony Davis. And again, this is also not an excuse for LeBron, but I do think that him not being at 100% kind of factored into
100% agree.
And I think Anthony Davis last year in the bubble, how he was, if he was that version of himself on that game, I don't think it would have been as close as it was. But the Warriors, like Steph was torching them. Like he...
Yeah.
I definitely, like, I'm one of the people, I'm a Lakers fan. I'm a fucking fan of AD.
Yeah.
I even thought the Warriors were going to win that game, especially after the third quarter, towards the beginning of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Even though the Lakers started firing on more cylinders towards the third, especially in the third and the fourth, I was like, yeah, I think the Warriors are probably going to pull this one. And then Mr. Three-Rim LeBron ends up hitting.
Yeah.
He ends up hitting the three.
Like, as a fan of just basketball, I almost wanted to just see that happen. Just to be like, that would be insane. If somebody just, like, puts a whole team on it. It's like anytime LeBron was on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he just put the whole organization on his back. Like, 400 people on his back, and just carried them to the finals. It's just insane to watch.
It is. What blows my mind, though, is that this is another thing. I think I sent it to you on Instagram. I can't remember. But the only appearances in the finals that the Cavs have, LeBron was on the team, yeah, obviously. And it was like, so they've had some decent players before. Like, they had the Mark Price era. And I'm like, mm-hmm, don't get me wrong. Like, I don't think Mark Price is a LeBron-type player. But, like, they were clearly enough to go against the Bulls in, what, the second round or the conference finals, whatever it was. But, like, it kind of blows my mind that the only success this team has seen in the playoffs happened because of this guy. And it wasn't just like, oh, they got into the playoffs. That's sweet. Like, it was a finals appearance.
Yeah.
And the one that blew my mind is the 2007 one. Like, I don't know. I still don't see how he even made it there. I was like, what did you do? Like,
look, LeBron in the East is a cheat code. Yeah. It doesn't matter what team he's on. It doesn't matter who's playing on his team. You could literally have some senior citizens on his team, and he'll still make it to the finals.
I don't understand.
Case in point, he had, oh my God.
This is why it's hard to bet against him even now. And I'm like, yeah, he's bordering 37 this year. And, like, he's not 100% according to him. But, like, he's still LeBron James, bro. Like, it's hard to bet against it. I'm sorry. As much as I love some of these other teams, like,
yeah.
Oh wait. All right. So if you're the Knicks,
mm-hmm,
you win the finals. Who do you have thinking winning finals MVP in your opinion? Like, would you say it's Julius Randle because he's the number one option? Do you say it's Derrick Rose?
I mean, it's whoever's putting up the best numbers statistically, so that would probably end up being
Want to win finals
RJ MVP? Barrett, because I mean, that's an insane storyline. It's like his fucking second or third year in the league, and he not only makes the playoffs, but he wins a ring and he gets finals MVP. That's crazy. What? But also, that would also be a really good story for Julius Randle. Yeah, going from scrub looking ass in the Lakers.
I would love to see Derrick Rose.
I know.
I would love to see Derrick Rose get a
finals. I guess storyline, that's the best one. He wins a ring and he wins finals MVP after everybody was like, nah, retire, quit. You'll never come back. You'll never be the same. And boom, he does this.
He's definitely not the same. I'll say that much. He came out and laid a long-ass statement. Not. And I'm like, yeah, clearly he's not the same player. This guy's not jumping over people like he was before. But like,
yeah.
Still a good ass.
However,
player.
He still has probably my favorite redemption moment in NBA history. That night that
the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and he dropped 50. It was like, oh my! It was just like almost like a stress for fans, just like off. Like,
yeah,
he might honestly not be the same, but he's still Derrick
like,
Rose.
Even if you don't like the Timberwolves or you know like the Bulls when they're playing, like you had to be a fan of Derrick Rose. Like,
yeah,
he's a likable guy, and like. Him hitting 50, and you know, obviously that's an emotional ass moment for him. it's heartwarming to see. I'm like, yeah, my guy deserves it.
He really went out there and said, "Fuck them kids."
For real.
Oh my God. Well.
Last question.
Okay.
Regular season awards. Who do you have winning from? Just list them out.
MVP, probably Jokic.
That's mine too.
It's just, number three seed. He's playing insane. Yeah. Defense player, probably Rudy.
I had Ben Simmons.
Yeah, I have Ben Simmons as my second.
There's a case for either one, honestly.
Yeah, I got Ben Simmons as my second because he locks people up and he's been doing insane things on the defensive end, but Rudy's been going hard.
Ben, probably Jordan Clarkson. That's what I have.
Yeah, yeah.
As much as I'd love to put Derrick Rose for that because it'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
I think it's Jordan Clarkson.
He's on a one seed team. Yeah. He's been dropping numbers off the bench. Yeah, it's got to be Jordan Clarkson. And then most improved, Julius Randle won his he got his All-Star award this year, right?
This is his first All-Star appearance.
Yeah, so probably Julius Randle. Because he was playing really well last year, but the fact that he went and got an All-Star appearance as well this year, I'd probably say Julius Randle.
No, for sure. I get that. I kind of forgot he was on the Lakers for a bit, too.
Yeah,
was that too drafted? Yeah. He was drafted there, and then he was in New Orleans for a year. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, he put up numbers in New Orleans. What the fuck?
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
It was her
He definitely deserved All-Star this year. What the hell? 24.1, 10.2 rebounds on, what is his shooting splits? 47, 41, and 81 splits. Yeah, he's doing fine. What the fuck? Yeah, he deserved that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's about it.
Yeah, I don't got any more questions. We're just going to have to wait and see what happens in the playoffs. We need more content.
Either way, if the Suns beat the Lakers, I'm happy. D-Book's my guy. Chris Paul deserves a shot.
Yeah.
If the Lakers beat the Suns, I'm happy. AD's my favorite player right now. And, you know, if LeBron somehow makes his case stronger against MJ, like, sure, by all means.
I agree. And, yeah, that matchup is, like, I'm fine with either one. Because the Lakers should make it. But if the Suns make it past that round, it's, like...
It's kind of crazy to me that the Suns are the 2 seed and are not the favorites in there. That's kind of nuts.
Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck? That's the power of LeBron. He could literally be an 8 seed and he's still the favorite.
It's hard to bet against him, man.
Yep.
All right.
All right, well, thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoyed. Hopefully, you guys are following the playoffs.
Hopefully, you like basketball. Otherwise, it's going to be tough.
Well, I figured if people are listening this far, they're probably fans of the NBA.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you for listening. We should be back on our normal bi-weekly schedule. So,
yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Great.
See ya.